Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast, counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture, one top five at a time. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
What's up there, loyal followers? It's Gerald with you. Another episode of Two Peas. Thank you so much for joining us. This one is a little different, but I'm very excited about it. It's going to be very unique. So, you know, Andy and I get together once a month. Regular listeners of the show will know that. And we count down a top five topic that's pretty special to us, something that we both agree on, that we have kind of a deep pool to pull from. And he's supposed to be here right now, but he canceled on me last minute. He's got a lot of stuff going on with his ministry, which is great, and I fully support. So that definitely takes precedent, but he could not be here today. So I asked him if it was all right to kind of get a Disney fanatic to kind of slide in for him, because this is going to be our topic for the month of April. And luckily for me, Andy and I have a mutual friend that we actually used to work with about a year and a half ago or so is when we stopped working together. My dear friend, we're still friends on Facebook. She's down in Florida. Lauren is joining us today on Two Peas for the very first time. Lauren, how are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor to be a pea in a podcast for a day.
Absolutely. You're an honorary pea today, so that's good.
I love it.
You can add that to your resume.
And it's going on there.
Absolutely. And, you know, Lauren's a Disney fanatic, which I already mentioned. She's Disney, man. She loves it. She lives Disney. She works for Disney. She's down in Florida working for Walt Disney World, and there you are. So you're on the show. I'm so excited. I there's literally nobody that would be better for the topic we're doing today, which is what, Lauren? What are we counting down today?
We are counting down our top five favorite Disney animated movies.
That's right. That's right. And we were talking a little bit online, Lauren, because this was difficult for you, right? I mean, obviously being a Disney freak, I mean, you probably had a real tough time narrowing it down.
This was extremely difficult. There were so many to choose from, and that made it really difficult anyway. And then it was challenging to try and figure out, why is this one my favorite? Yeah. Because I could choose things based on the characters or the impact the film had on the country or so many different aspects. And so it was very challenging.
So what did you do? I mean, what was your ultimate deciding factor without giving anything away?
Without giving anything away, the ones that I chose as my favorites are the ones that I can watch over and over again and still love every single time that I see it.
Yeah, so like the rewatchability factor.
Yes, for me in my life personally, that's what I did.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, I had to kind of stop overthinking these lists, you know, because we do this. Well, if you count my guests, I'm really doing this every week. But, you know, Andy and I get together once a month and do this. And I mean, I just can't overthink it. So I'm just like, the first five or 10 that come to mind, I write them down. And I usually stick with those handful that I come up with, and I might maneuver them as far as ordering is concerned. But what's interesting about Disney movies is I did that, but I was well over 20 within like 2 minutes. Just typing out different titles just over and over and over and over again. So then I had to whittle down. I think I told you last night it was like 23 initially, and I had to whittle that down to 10, and then I had to pick the top five of that 10. So this is the hardest one, because it's definitely, I've seen, I don't know that I'm going to say I've seen every Disney animated movie, but I've probably seen easily 80, 85% of them. So it was tough, man. I love all of them. There's really no Disney movies that I haven't enjoyed in one way or another. So it is a tough list. So I'm glad you struggled with that too, because...
Well, I'm glad you struggled with it, because I was afraid that I was having a hard time just because it's so close to my heart, and having worked for the company and experienced these stories in a different way than just on my movie screen.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest, my roommate and I sat in our living room for 3.5 hours last night discussing all these different talking points and arguing this movie versus that one. And so I'm excited to hear your list.
I'm excited to hear yours for sure, especially with your kind of personal connection to them there. But that's funny. You said you were so cute last night because you were like, you know, you've never been on the show before. And you know, I know you've listened occasionally, but you were like, you were doing a top five, I guess, initially, because you were trying to do like a top five. Like, I think, what'd you say? You said, I want to represent America.
Yes. So
America's top five.
I was under the impression that we were going to do a top five best Disney movies of all time, you know, so some movies, in my opinion, that would probably be that were game changers for the Walt Disney Company and for society aren't necessarily my favorites. But I was trying to decide, do I want to put this anywhere in here anyway so that I can represent, because I know it'll be a crowd pleaser, even though I don't like it. And so,
no, that's awesome. And I really, really appreciate the thought that you put into it, for sure. And that means a lot. But I tell you what, you want to get started? You want to go ahead and start us off? We're going to count down our top five Disney movies, guys. And just to reiterate, this is only animated films, which is actually another conversation that Lauren and I had a couple days ago, because if this was just Disney in general, I mean, then you're getting like crazy. You know, you got the Pirate series, you got Star Wars, Disney owns Star Wars now. I mean, it's just like, you know, it would have been a 4-hour episode. We would have had to do like our top 50. It would have been crazy. So we're doing Disney animated films, and you can include Pixar. That's a little asterisk. I know some podcasts I've heard in the past and articles I've read in the past, they'll do classic Disney movies, so they won't include once the kind of Pixar revolution began. But we can include both. And I know, Lauren, you know that, right? This isn't the first time you're hearing that, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just making sure. So, Lauren, go ahead and start us off. Lauren's here, guest of the show, friend of the show, and first time on Two Piece. She's going to get us started. What's your number five Disney movie, and why'd you pick it?
Hey, my number five Disney movie was released the year that I was born, in 1994. It is The Lion King.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
Hakuna Matata. Ain't no peasant craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
It's our problem-free philosophy.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata?
Yeah, it's our motto.
What's the motto?
Nothing. What's the motto with you?
We will have a little crossover here. I'm going to be talking about The Lion King later. Also, a side note, I graduated high school in 94.
Oh, my goodness.
So... thanks for that.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, hey, at least we know. That's kind of interesting, too, actually, to see how our lists are formed because of the age difference, too. So
yes, that's kind of. I think you might see some evidence in that as my list goes on.
So Lion King, I mean, I'm going to talk about it later, but why did you fall on this one for your number five?
Sure. So I would like to give a small disclaimer in the beginning for my entire list. I actually did not grow up on Disney movies. So I watched several movies for the first time only after becoming a cast member at Walt Disney World. So I experienced all of these as an adult. Mm-hmm. So the nostalgia factor for me wasn't even a thing.
Interesting.
So The Lion King, I actually saw for the first time this past summer.
Wow. Okay.
I had never seen it before. But at Walt Disney World in Disney's Animal Kingdom, we have a show called Festival of the Lion King. Mm-hmm. It's a really spectacular Broadway level show that is live dancers, singers, and performers like in circus art. So trapeze, things like that. Mm-hmm. It is unbiasedly the best show on property, has received awards internationally, and that was one of my first experiences with the story of The Lion King. Okay. And it is such a spectacular representation of the culture and of the lion pride and things like that. It was so fantastical. I cry every single time. So when I saw the movie for the first time, it had a really big impact on me. The reason that this is my personal favorite for my number five is that I really, really, really love and feel very connected to animals.
Okay.
So the concept of all of, just in the opening scene, the circle of life, I mean, come on.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
That should be on both of our top fives for that scene alone. Mm-hmm. But all of the animals coming together as one in harmony and to welcome their new future king into their pride lands is just a spectacular moment that can't be surpassed in another film.
I agree. I love it. It's higher up on my list, but I agree with everything you said. Scar is an amazing villain. One of the best.
Oh, he's terrifying.
One of the best Disney villains portrayed by Jeremy Irons or voiced by Jeremy Irons. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it later, so I don't want to get too crazy. But I mean, you know, you got Disney, you got Elton John, you got Scar. I mean, come on. We're good. Do you know what I mean?
Great.
So I agree with you. So your number five is The Lion King. And I don't know. Maybe a little spoiler there that you like the animal films. I don't know. I have this weird thing where, like, I don't know. There's a few exceptions, Lion King being one of them. But typically speaking, I don't know. I kind of act weird with the talking animals. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I connect personally a little bit more if I feel like it's believable. Do you know what I mean?
But yes, I agree. And that's what I feel about The Lion King too, that it is cultural. You know, they
sure, yeah.
did the research onto how does a pride of lions act and what is their hierarchy of leadership and things like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I obviously love it. It's going to be on my list later. Okay, so my number five, we were just talking about how we decided to include Pixar. And I got to be honest, doing that made my list even more difficult because I could very easily have five Pixar films on here.
Absolutely.
I don't know for sure, but I want to say they've done close to 20 feature movies with the Pixar tag, but I love all of them. I mean, you know, all of them are just amazing to me. All of them are 4-star or 5-star movies, upper echelon. This is one of the best films that won the Academy Award for Best Animated this particular year. But my number five is very, very recent, actually. It's the most recent on my list. From 2015 is a film called Inside Out. It's my number five. And, you know, I mean, I love it. Just such an inventive idea, right? And it's inside of a child's mind. And what's interesting for me with this movie, it came out in 2015. I had, at the time, a 13-year-old daughter. She was 13 when this movie came out. And in the film, the main character, the lead teenager in the movie, is a 13-year-old girl going through a lot, maybe 12, going through a lot of changes. And, you know, she has all these mood swings. And, you know, the lore is that, you know, teenage girls kind of go through a lot of ups and downs mood-wise and through their emotions. So you have, you know, disgust in there. You have joy, which is voiced by Amy Poehler, who I absolutely love from Parks and Rec and Saturday Night Live and several other things. You have sadness, anger, who is voiced by Lewis Black, a comedian that I love that actually went to UNC Chapel Hill. And then fear, which is voiced by Bill Hader, another SNL alum that I love. So this is just a very innovative idea that's very unique. And it's just a touching story. And it's just a story about this girl kind of growing up and the battles that she has kind of within herself as a teenage girl, you know, kind of flirting for the first time, you know, obviously your body going through changes, you know, that one scene where she decides to run away from home, when she starts fighting with her parents, you know, and things from your childhood kind of start to crumble around you the older you get, you know, and then those things kind of disappear away. And, you know, the scene with Bing Bong, her imaginary friend, I mean, come on. I mean, you're talking about cried every time. I mean, you know, send her to the moon for me. And, you know, she takes off. Joy takes off and Bing Bong kind of vanishes from her memory.
Bing Bong? Bing Bong!
Yeah, you made it! Go! Go save Riley!
Take her to the moon for me, okay?
So it's just a very emotional movie. I loved it. Obviously, the animation is stellar. Pixar is known for that. And like I said, won several awards, including the Academy Award. It's one of my favorite Pixars. So Inside Out is my number five. You into that one?
So you are going to hate me for this.
Go ahead.
I have never seen Inside Out.
Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting.
No, I have heard that. I've heard nothing but good things about it. I've also heard that it's a tearjerker, mm-hmm, and I'm a bit of a baby going into movies that I know are going to be sad, and I run far away.
Right. Well, it does have a couple scenes that'll get you, and I'm sorry if I spoiled anything. I didn't realize you hadn't seen it. But,
oh, no, I don't mind the spoilers.
But there's a couple scenes that'll get you. Like I said, there's one scene in particular I cry every single time. I've seen it probably 4 or 5 times, and every time I get a little teary-eyed at that one scene, even though I obviously know what's going to happen. But
yeah,
it's just a great story, and it's especially as a girl. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but especially as a woman, you should watch it. I feel like, you know, having been a teenage girl and having gone through a lot of that stuff, you'll probably connect with it on a level that I can't. But
absolutely,
it was a great movie. I mean, it's one of my favorite Pixar. So that's my number five, Inside Out. Please check it out and hit me up on Facebook after you watch it. You gotta check it out, Lauren.
I will.
So on to you. What's your number four?
My number four is a pretty recent movie. It came out in 2014. It is Big Hero 6.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. It was on my initial list that I wrote down where I did like 23 or whatever, but it didn't end up making my top 10. But it is a great movie. Go ahead. Why do you love it?
Well, first of all, it's a super entertaining action movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is great. I think the dialogue is really witty, is really engaging. I also really like that there is no magic in the movie. It is focused on science, and all of these, I don't know, as marvels came from people's brains and they created them. And it's a very realistic movie.
Mm-hmm.
I also really appreciate, Gerald, what is the one thing that almost every Disney movie has in common?
Music?
Death.
Oh, well, yeah, death. Yeah. I went a much more happier route, but yes, go ahead.
You did. You went in a very innocent route, but dead parents,
you're right.
People are dying left and right in Disney from the very first Disney princess movie. And almost every time it's kind of just glided right over. The dead parents thing is a theme that is so continuing in Disney, but we never talk about it.
That's true, yeah.
And Big Hero 6 took a step to talk about it at length.
Mm-hmm. Your blood pressure is elevated. You appear to be distressed.
I'm fine. There, is it working?
My sensor is operational.
Good. Then let's get... What?
Are you going to remove my healthcare chip?
Yes. Open!
My purpose is to heal the sick and injured.
Baymax, open your access port.
Do you want me to terminate Professor Callahan?
Just open!
Will terminating Professor Callahan improve your emotional state?
Yes! No, I don't know. Open your access!
Is this what Tadashi wanted?
It doesn't matter!
Tadashi programmed me to aid
him. Tadashi's gone! Tadashi's gone.
Tadashi is here.
No, he's not here.
Tadashi is here.
This is Tadashi Hamada.
And this is the first test of my robotics project.
Hello, I am Baymax.
Stop. And they really spelled it out for you. And you know, Hiro's brother Tadashi, who I think is also one of the greatest, most valiant and admirable characters in Disney history, dies in this freak fire. And it goes through Hiro's journey of the stages of grief and all of that anger and wanting to avenge his brother's death and getting to the point where it was possible and almost killing this man who he thought killed his brother. And these friends come around him and kind of talk him down and bring him back down to earth and, you know, kind of reinstate Tadashi's goal and honor into Hiro's life. And also, can we talk about these friends that are so colorful? Honey Lemon, Wasabi, such great additions into a story. And they all are just really, really cool and become these mascots.
Mm-hmm.
And then the character of Baymax is just really, really creative.
Yeah. And cute. I mean, just a cute. I mean, I remember when they were selling those plushes when it came out. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great one. I didn't see that coming, though. I didn't expect that to be on your list. I'm not sure why. But I just didn't expect
that's
you
okay.
to.
Okay. I knew that one would be surprising. Yeah. I think a lot of people watch the movie and really enjoy it and like it. And then once it's over, they kind of forget that it all happened.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like Big Hero 6, maybe because there hasn't been any sequels or anything quite yet, but I feel like that one didn't really, quote, like live on really past the initial year. We own it. And my son, you know, when I bought that Blu-ray, we watched it 100 times because, you know, he loved it and still does. But I mean, obviously, anytime he gets a new movie, he watches that for the next month. So, but yeah, that's a great one. That's a good pick. Yeah, a little surprise
Thank
coming
you.
From you,
I'm
but
here
I
like fight for it.
Hey, I love that movie. So that's a good pick. All right, so your number four is Big Hero 6. So my number four is going back to not classic in terms of, you know, the 30s or 40s, but it's classic. For me, I was in high school when this movie came out, and I have a kind of a personal attachment to this particular movie when it was released on video. So my very, very first job, I was in 10th grade, And I worked at Eckerd's, which is was a drugstore slash pharmacy that now got Rite Aid. You know, are you guys have Rite Aid in Florida or CVS?
Yes, I grew up with Eckerd's too.
Okay, so you know Eckerd's. So it was Eckerd's back then. Now I believe it's the Rite Aid franchise. But anyway, that was my first job, and I was like a cashier there, and I would, you know, stock the shelves and like whatever. And we had, and this is in 1992, and we had a little. They had just come out where you could get the TVs with the VCR built into them. You know, that was the thing back then where you didn't have to buy the VCR separate. It had the tape head on the television itself. And we were selling those at Eckerd's, and we only had one movie that we sold on VHS tape in that store, and it was this one. So that movie literally played on a loop on my 4 or 5 hour shift. I watched it 2 or 3 times a day, 3 or 4 days a week. It was Aladdin from 1992.
Aww.
And that's my number four. I mean, for Robin Williams alone and his voice performance in this movie, aside from Good Will Hunting, I would say this might be Robin Williams' best performance in his career. I love it.
Absolutely.
I love him as an actor anyway and a comedian. And this is just a great voice performance. It was one of those where, you know, as the genie, where he's telling jokes and making one-liners that are adult humor, but kids, no matter how old they are, they can get that it's funny because the way he's delivering it. You know, like kids aren't going to get jokes at 5, 6 to 10 years old about Arsenio Hall or about, you know, him doing an impression of people they've never heard of. But it's still funny to them because of the way Williams delivers it. And kids can laugh at it. Obviously, I was a teen at the time and I loved it. Adults love it. I still love it when I show it to my family.
10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck. Hang on a second. Whoa! Wow! Does it feel good to be out of there? I tell you, nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, where are you from? What's your name?
Aladdin.
Aladdin! Hello, Aladdin. Nice to have you on the show. Can we call you Al, or maybe just Din? Or how about Lobby? Sounds like, here, boy. Come on, Lobby.
I must have hit my head harder than I thought.
Do you smoke? Mind if I do? Oh, sorry, Cheetah. I hope I didn't singe the fur. Yo, Rugman, haven't seen you in a few millennia. Give me some tassel. Yeah, yo, yo.
Say. And the music's amazing. I mean, just, just such a great soundtrack. I remember I used to listen to this CD all the time when the soundtrack came out. But yeah, Aladdin is my number four. You know, I'm a little concerned about the remake. Have you seen the trailer for that, Lauren?
I am extremely nervous about that. Yeah, I did see the trailer. Personally, I know some people are excited. Yeah. I was not a fan about anything in the trailer.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, I try not to hate too much because I'm not into haters. You know, they kind of,
yeah,
they,
agreed.
They kind of drive me nuts. So I'm definitely going to give it a chance and I'm going to wait before I cast like this sucks.
Sure.
But if I see it and it sucks, I'll make sure to let people know.
I didn't like it. Well, now, have you ever seen the videos that were released of the filming of Aladdin and Robin Williams doing Genie in the studio?
Yeah, I've seen a few of those. It's ironic that you said that, actually. My son's into this thing right now, and I have no idea why, but he watches YouTube occasionally, and he'll want me to look for videos of people doing behind-the-scenes voice acting and Easter eggs in movies. Those are the two things like he wants to watch YouTube videos about now.
That's pretty cool stuff to watch YouTube videos about. So
we actually saw some of that footage very, very recently, a couple weeks ago. I had never seen it before. But yeah, I love Robin Williams, man. Just so hilarious. Such a high energy. Just so good at his craft, you know. And he just wanted to make people happy, you know. And
oh, yeah.
This is the one movie where he's definitely doing that from beginning to end. I mean, just a great character as the genie. Like I said, between Robin Williams and the music and then the fact that I just watched this movie probably 100 times when it came out on video. I mean, I just have a personal connection to it. And it's one of my favorites. So I had to put it on my list.
I will say that Aladdin was going to be on my top five.
Yeah.
I tried to figure out a way to put it there because I love it as well. I think it has a really high factor of rewatchability.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And just Robin Williams, as you're saying, I love that so much of what Genie says was not in the script.
Right, right.
And that is just awesome. And I always loved Aladdin's character too. He was always my favorite prince, still is.
Okay.
I think he has a really great personality, and yeah. I love that you have a personal connection to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Little Gerald and Eckerd just watching Aladdin. I love it.
That was me. That was me. We only had one VHS tape where I'm like, oh God. But then I like loved it so much. And you hear the music, you know, even if you're not watching it, if you can't see the television, you can still hear it, you know. So you're hearing the music throughout the movie and you're hearing Robin Williams crack those jokes and you can see kids coming into Eckerd's and, you know, enjoying it. I don't know. I just had a connection to that. So,
oh yeah,
that went on for a few months when that came out on VHS when I had that job. So, all right. So that's my number four, Aladdin, and that's a non-Pixar mention, which is saying a lot because I could have very easily done a full slate of Pixar here. What's your number three, Lauren? It's up to you.
So my number three was going to be my number one when I thought that we were doing the best Disney movies of all time.
Okay.
But it's my third favorite. It is Mulan.
You would have put this as the consensus number one, eh?
Yes. I have probably a page written out to fight for why it was so
great. Why don't you share a little bit? I do love Mulan, but it didn't make my list. But why don't you share a little bit about from that?
Sure. Well, I will just go ahead and start with the comedic relief in the movie. I think is pretty awesome. Eddie Murphy as Mushu nailed it. Mm-hmm. And there, I like too that he's not the only comedic relief in the movie. They didn't just stick him in there. You know, the friends that Mulan makes at her camp, Yao, Ling, Chen Po, they're really pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I also really like that there is no magic in this movie other than what happens in the beginning with the ancestors, which, depending on your culture and belief, wouldn't even necessarily be called magic.
Sure, right.
It's also, I think, a really big deal that the villains they are fighting in this movie, they don't have evil superpowers. They're real. They were the Huns.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
This movie has a lot of cultural accuracy in that respect. So even lyrically with the music, which is spectacular, this concept of Mulan wanting to bring honor to her family. And even in a comedic moment when Mushu says, dishonor on you, dishonor on your family, dishonor on your cow. That was kind of like a curse that you would say to someone is dishonor on your family. That's like the worst thing that you could say.
Right, right.
Also, the character development in this movie is spectacular. And you see character development in all of the major characters, not just the protagonist. So everyone from Yao Ling and Chen Po to Li Shang to Mulan's parents to Mulan herself, who had character development physically, emotionally, mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And just the whole fact that she stepped in for her father. Her goal in this whole thing was not self-seeking. Mm-hmm. Mulan did not have this dream growing up to be in the Chinese army. And this wasn't her shot to make her dream come true. She volunteered on behalf of her father's safety, yes, but she also honorably stepped up to serve China.
Yeah.
She showed up, tried to keep her head down and do the job for China and for her family. And because it was the right choice, you know, not knocking other movies, but in comparison, Ariel, for instance, had this dream of being up on the land, and she did what it took because that was her dream, even though it upset her father and her family. And Mulan was totally the opposite in this.
Yeah, no, this is a deep one, man. This is a deep movie, and I love this movie. And, you know, Disney has a knack for doing that, where they'll take kind of a deep, dark story and just kind of make it fun, you know.
Yeah.
But they'll keep the substance there at the end of the day, too. You know, this is another one that's getting remade. I'm sure you've heard that.
Yes, I am excited about this. I think that they have a lot to live up to.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm really, really hoping that they make, like, a badass action movie out of this.
But can I ask you, while we're on the topic, because, you know, so far we've mentioned Lion King, Aladdin, and now Mulan, and possibly more to come. I mean, this Disney remake thing, I mean, being as connected to Disney as you are, because it's kind of split, right?
Sure. Where,
and I'm talking about like amongst like Disney quote fans or community or whatever. They're going to keep doing it as long as they make money is the way I look at it. So if Disney keeps making money with the remakes and it keeps getting a return of hundreds of millions of dollars every time they release it, why are they going to stop doing it? But aside from the money thing and just being a fan of Disney, I mean, how do you feel? I mean, are you cool with these kind of live action remakes?
I am very split on it, and I think it is a case-by-case basis. I know Beauty and the Beast remake was very split. I personally loved it, but I also don't have a single connection to the original animated Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
I also really appreciated and enjoyed the Cinderella live action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In my personal opinion, I think Jungle Book flopped.
Yeah.
And I'm also pretty concerned about the Lion King live action that we're actually going to get this year. So
we are. And, you know, and Aladdin, too. And, you know, with the Lion King, I love the casting. I mean, they got James Earl Jones back. Yeah. And they got
Beyonce as Nala.
Yeah. And Childish Gambino. What's his name? Daniel Glover is coming in as Simba. I mean, it's going to be great. I mean, casting-wise, I just get concerned because they were so good. I mean, these are timeless, classic films that happen to be animated. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's if you take a live-action, historically a live-action movie or TV or whatever, and make an animated feature out of it, and we don't kind of freak out with that.
Sure.
But I don't know. I guess it's easier.
Do I wish that they instead were tapping into their creative bones yes. and making new stories?
Yes.
Yes, yeah,
me too. That's kind of where I stand too. Absolutely. And what I was going to say is I guess it's kind of easier to animate something that's real as opposed to make something real that was animated. And so that always kind of like scares, like we were talking about with Aladdin, that kind of scares me a little bit because, you know, an animated genie being voiced by Robin Williams is going to be profoundly different than a live action genie with Will Smith's face CGI on.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Which is a whole other topic. Right. And I'm not even like, and I'm not even taking anything away from Will Smith as an actor or whatever. I mean, I don't mind him. It's just like, they're so different. So it just worries me. That's all. But it'll be interesting to see. And I'm obviously rooting for them to be well. I didn't love the Beauty and the Beast remake. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it like I love Beauty and the Beast from 91. But I didn't love the remake. I just thought it was okay. But, you know, we'll see what they do. Disney, like I said, they're going to keep making money. Let's do it. You know, that's probably what they're thinking. So that was your number three was Mulan. Good pick. So my number three is another Pixar. It is the second of three Pixar on my list. So I got one more coming up. But my number three is actually my top three are pretty much tied. It's like 1A, 1B, and 1C. And again, as we spoke about in the beginning of the show, this is our personal list. This is my personal favorite. I don't know that this one would show up on a lot of people's top 10 list. It might not even be on your radar. I pray to God that you've seen it, though. But it is an amazing film that touched me, and the story touched me, but just also I'm a giant fan of like sci-fi. I've always been a big sci-fi fan. I've always been a big kind of like stories with aliens in them and space and stuff. And this had all that and more. And it was WALL-E from 2008 is my number three. You've seen it, right?
I have not.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Lauren, you're literally, it's like you're here stabbing me.
I haven't seen a lot of Pixar actually.
Okay. Well, I won't
tell me about it. Tell me why you love it. Sell me on it.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to spoil it for you as far as like the ending and stuff like that and how it turns out, but
you can.
What's cool about WALL-E is it is a futuristic story. So it takes place in the future and it's sci-fi, it's science fiction, I hope. Because what happens in the movie is that Earth has basically ruined itself. And, you know, over the course of however many decades, so much trash and waste has been compiled on Earth and all the landfills have been overfilled and so on that they had to literally find another planet to live on. So all of the Earth's population had to basically relocate to a different planet.
It's horrible.
And they leave WALL-E, who I'm sure you've seen the images. He's a little robot. It's kind of like a little tin box or whatever. They leave him and robots like him on Earth to clean up all the trash. And he's kind of like a mini trash compactor. So he like literally spends his life going around and collecting trash and compacting it to try to make more room on Earth. So that's the general kind of umbrella story. But there's also a really kind of you couldn't see it coming, a very surprising kind of love story hidden in there because there's another robot. Her name is Eve, which is a biblical reference I read because the writers of this film were Christian. But Eve comes to Earth and WALL-E ends up kind of having emotions for her and falling in love with her, which if you can suspend disbelief, doesn't make sense for a robot, but whatever. But he kind of falls in love with her and they kind of have this unique partnership where they try to team up to kind of, in the end, they really end up trying to team up to save humanity. But it starts with them just trying to team up to not get caught by the quote unquote villains in this movie. So it's very inventive. It's very futuristic. And in a weird way, when you're watching it, you can see us here in 100 years. Like, it's sad to say, but like Earth doesn't, it has a very social message, you know, that we don't take care of ourselves and our Earth. And there's actually characters in the movie on the new planet, I can't remember what it's called, but the planet that they relocated to, that have this technology where they never have to get out of their chair. So they buy this chair and it does everything for them. It brings them everything. It's on like a conveyor belt. It takes them places.
Wow.
And they never have to get out of it. And they're, of course, several of them are obese because of it. And so it's like kind of painting an image like, you know, because I mean, you got Alexa and Siri and, you know, everything else that we're able to do today. And it's kind of like you watch this movie and you go, man, they might be onto something here. So it's a little scary in that regard, but there's great voice acting in it. Sigourney Weaver's in it. Jeff Garlin, who I love from The Goldbergs, is in it, and Curb Your Enthusiasm. Fred Willard. This is the first Pixar movie, which actually I knew this when I saw it because I've seen them all, but I didn't think about it. But this is the first Pixar movie that incorporated a live action actor. So Fred Willard's in the movie, the human Fred Willard's in the movie as himself. And then, of course, it's an animated film. So that was the first Pixar movie to do that. But you got to see this one. I mean, it's an amazing film. Another one that won Best Picture at the Academy Awards that year. Best Animated Feature.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love WALL-E. It's one of my personal favorites. It's a very touching story that I love because it blindsides you because you don't expect it to be touching. Like, it's like a robot cleaning up trash and you're like, okay, whatever. It's going to probably look cool, but you don't expect to cry and be emotionally affected by it. And then you are. So they did a really great job storytelling with that. But I love WALL-E. That's my number three.
I respect it.
Yeah, you got to see it. I'm going to be hitting you up now, like on a weekly basis. Like, have you done your
homework? I know. Yeah. I am such a baby because I know I'm going to cry at all of these Pixar movies. Pixar is so good at just ripping your heart out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, hopefully you've seen my number one, which is also Pixar. So we're up to our runner-ups. So I'm excited. You had a little surprise. Not too surprising. You're sticking to your Lauren roots here. I like it. What's your number two? What's your runner-up?
Okay, well, let's see if you're surprised by this.
All right.
My runner-up is from 2016, Zootopia.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised based on your animals thing you told me earlier. This is in my top 10. It didn't make my top 5, but this is another crossover for us. It did make my top 10. Go ahead and tell everyone why you love it.
Well, first of all, I just think it's really entertaining. It has a really high level of rewatchability, which is what made my top 5. The first time I saw it, I didn't totally pick up on this until it ended and I got to really think about it. This came out in 2016, the year of our most recent presidential election, which is a really pivotal time in America.
Sure.
And this film showcased a story of discrimination in a very, very smart way.
Yep, I agree.
And the whole idea of the predators and them being, I don't want to say, you know, a superior race. They weren't for a long time. And then all of a sudden, people are kind of out of nowhere being like, oh, wait, you know, we need to lock them up because they're too dangerous and they can't be trusted, out of the blue. And then how Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde's characters become friends and work together. And then don't even get me started on sweet little Judy Hopps.
Oh, she's great.
She's going to be a police officer.
Yeah, and what's great about that particular storyline, Judy's storyline in that movie, Disney does a good job in general, but especially in Zootopia, it has that underlying message for children, like you can be anything you want to be. Judy Hopps, a little bunny, even her parents are telling her, like, you know, you're going to be on this farm, and that's what you do. And she wants to go to the big city and be a police officer and fight crime, and she ends up doing that. And I thought that was great, too. And Disney will do that. They'll throw characters in there that kind of go beyond their means, you know, and they kind of live up to their dreams and their goals. And Judy Hopps is a great example of that.
I also think the casting was really spot on. Jennifer Goodwin as Judy Hopps, I think, was really, really great, really special. Jason Bateman was Nick Wilde. And then, of course, Shakira Gazelle in the movie is kind of a small part, but I think that she had a really good addition to that cast overall.
Yeah, just amazing animation as well. I mean, this is another one that we own that looks great on 4K, I'll just tell you.
Oh, yeah.
But it's awesome. My son loves this one, too. This is another one this is the only one other than The Lion King we already mentioned that made my list that features, like, you know, talking animals, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I just love this movie. I think the social messages that you're referring to are really what sold it for me, because they do that so cunningly, you know? So kind of, kind of like on the down low. Like, you have to kind of, like, when the movie's over, you go, wait a second, was that because of, you know? And, you know, it's kind of, you know, dealing with a lot of, like, racism and systemic issues and stuff that you don't think about when you're watching a Disney movie, and they do it so subtly to still kind of get the message out there, but to not let it take over the story. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And how smart was it of Disney to say, okay, well, we can't play a colors game here. We can't really play a status game here. Let's do animals.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I also think that one of my favorite parts of the movie, if you remember, there's a part, I think Judy Hopps is just caught, I think it was the Night Howler? Is that what it's called? And then she's making this press speech, and you think that the movie's about to be over, and then it's not.
Yeah.
And then there's this other little subplot that then continues between Judy and Nick. And I also think that this movie has a really great plot twist as well in terms of who the villain is.
Right, right. I agree with everything you said. Like I said, it's in my top 10. It's just a great movie. Animation is stellar. Voice acting is great. Music's great. Shakira's great.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Fit that role awesome. So that's your number two. Your runner-up is Zootopia. And that's a pretty recent one. That one was 2016, right?
Yes.
Yep. All right. So my number two, we've already talked about, so we can just have a little brief revisit to it. But it's The Lion King is my number two from 1994. Another personal connection I have to this particular movie, and then we can move on, is it's very personal to me. And just a little quick little story. And very, it's not like one of those like, oh my God, that was a great story. But it's just a little thing that I never, ever, ever will forget when this movie gets mentioned. But my father, who's passed on now, and interestingly enough, he passed on in 96 and this movie came out in 94. So when I'm telling you this story, this probably happened somewhere around like 95. So this movie was still fairly new for the most part.
Okay.
But my father was going through a lot of stuff at the end of his life, and I was living in Greensboro. He was living in Charlotte, so we were a few hours apart. And he was going through some stuff, and he kind of knew his health was deteriorating, and he was seeing a therapist. And he called me one day, and he never called me, which I should start by saying that. Like, he literally never called me. And he called me one day, and I was just kind of like, wow, okay, what's going on, Dad, you know? And he's talking to me, and he goes, well, look. And my dad was very Southern. He was like kind of like the picture of like a redneck kind of, you know? So I won't try to do that voice, but
please
know,
try.
This is him talking, you know, but he's like, you know, hey, son, I saw my therapist today, and I don't know, we got to get together. We got to watch The Lion King together. He wants us to watch The Lion King. And I'm going, what? So like, he never calls me. He calls me out of nowhere, and he wants to get together to watch The Lion King. And I don't know, I never will forget him doing that. It was just so funny. And he did it in such kind of a funny way. My dad was kind of a comedian like that. Like, he kind of took the lighthearted approach to all things, you know? But he's just like, yeah, my doctor said we got to watch Lion King together. So let's get together and watch Lion King.
And did you?
No, we never did. We never got a chance to. I mean, I agreed to it, obviously, but we never got a chance to. And I had already seen it at that point, and I don't know if he had seen it yet at that point when he made that call. But anyway, I will have that memory of him making that phone call, which is one of the last times I talked to him, to be honest. And Lion King 2 is cool because it takes on the narrative of Hamlet from Shakespeare. You know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's basically Hamlet with all these cute animals and this kind of grandiose artistry, you know, but it's the story of Hamlet, which is timeless, and you know, everyone loves it, and it's a very popular kind of story arc. I've already mentioned Jeremy Irons voicing Scar is one of my favorite villains. Andy and I just recently did movie villains, and Scar got a mention on that show. Gotta be one of the best animated villains for sure, and it's just awesome, man. The music's great. I mean, Hakuna Matata, you know? Well, I mean, is it getting any better? Is it getting any better than that? I mean, I don't think it does. So we've already talked about it. So The Lion King, we crossed up there. That's my number two. And we're up to our number ones, Lauren. You ready? You feeling good?
This is a big deal.
Yeah, you feeling good?
I'm feeling good. I'm super excited to hear yours.
You're going to announce to the... Oh, I feel like you probably know mine, but if not, you'll probably be like, oh, okay. Well, you go first. What's your number one? I'm excited to hear yours. I don't think I would be able to guess yours at this point. You kind of been up and down the spectrum here.
Well, Gerald, what do you think my number one is?
Do you want me to say or do you want to say it? I think I know just based on a conversation we had online a few days ago.
Okay, let's say it at the same time on three and see if we say the same thing.
Are you that confident? Okay, go ahead. So you count down from three. Go ahead.
3, 2, 1.
Tangled. It's Tangled. I didn't know if you were going to throw in your honorable mentions or if it was going to be your number one. I knew you loved it, though. But, you know, I didn't get into it with you online because I knew we were going to be having the show today. But why do you love... I mean, it's great. I mean, it's an awesome movie. Why do you love Tangled?
I could go on for days about the reasons that I love this movie. I will say most people in my life know that I absolutely adore Rapunzel.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of my favorite Disney characters of all time. I think she's a really great role model. Her character and her personality and the reflection of who she is just an incredible example of kindness and grace and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. That is such an incredible work with all the that she's been through. But the movie Tangled is so smart because they took a story that everybody knows, Rapunzel.
Right.
And it's a story that should be very predictable, and it's completely unpredictable.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
What's really cool is that Flynn is actually the person narrating the story. And it's not his story. But that's why it's called Tangled and not Rapunzel, because the first time that Flynn and Rapunzel meet, he was tangled up in her hair. And also, in my opinion, so I have a degree in clinical psychology. I would argue that Mother Gothel is the scariest Disney villain that exists.
Yeah, I could see that. She's scary.
You want to go outside? Why, Rapunzel, look at you, as fragile as a flower. Still a little sapling, just a sprout. You know why we stay up in this tower?
I know, but...
That's right, to keep you safe and sound, dear. Guess I always knew this day was coming. Knew that soon you'd want to leave the nest. Soon, but not yet.
But
shh, trust me, pet. Mother knows best.
A lot of times in villains, we see the power hungry, I want the throne, I'm pretty obvious about it. Mother Gothel is the definition of manipulation. And it is very, very scary because she convinces Rapunzel that she absolutely loves her. And I think in her own way, Mother Gothel does love Rapunzel.
Right.
That's what's even freakier about it.
Right.
When you go and watch the movie, Rapunzel and Mother Gothel are very connected and are very affectionate with each other. But if you look closely, the only times that Mother Gothel ever touches Rapunzel in affection, she touches her hair.
Yeah.
So she'll put her hair behind her ears, she'll brush her hair back behind her shoulders because she's so very fixated on it.
Yeah.
Just the idea of the abduction of this baby and then raising Rapunzel for all these years, and it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I also think that Tangled has one of the biggest plot twists in the movie up to that point in Disney films. So the first words of the whole film are Flynn Rider coming out and saying, this is the story of how I died.
Yeah.
And even when Flynn, quote, dies at the end, we're still shocked, even though he told us this was going to happen.
Right. This is what you're watching. Yeah. This is going to happen. Yeah. There you go. There's your death theme again, too.
Yeah, that death scene, everyone, you know, and don't even get me started on the reunion of Rapunzel with the king and the queen, his parents.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite moment in that movie is when the king and the queen, it's Rapunzel's birthday, and they are up in their palace, and they have this one palace guard whose job it has been for what, 16 years? Every single day, he comes in and reports to the king and queen and says, no, we didn't find her.
Yeah.
Every day. And this one day, he comes in and nods his head.
Right.
And that is just so powerful.
It is. Imagine that. Yeah, I agree. Well, that's a good pick. And, you know, I was wondering, because I knew you loved it, and you gave a little shout out to it online on our post, but I didn't know if it was, like, your favorite. So, there it is. But now the world knows. Tangled.
Now the world knows.
Tangled is your number one. Another awesome Disney score, Alan Menken returning.
Alan Menken.
The music is
amazing. The animation is so stunning aesthetically. It is beautiful throughout the entire thing.
I agree. Mandy Moore does a great job voicing that. Zachary Levi, who's about to be Shazam.
Oh, yeah. He does so awesome. Flynn Rider. I love his character as the, quote, handsome prince, too, because he is sarcastic and witty. He lies to Rapunzel. He tries to trick her. He tries to manipulate her out of having to hold up his end of the bargain. He does not want to be involved with her.
Right.
It is really refreshing.
Right. Well, good pick. And now that I'm thinking about it, I guess I'm not too surprised. But, hey, that's perfect. Perfect. Lauren's number one is Tangled. All right, so my number one is not going to surprise anyone that listens to the show on a regular basis, I wouldn't imagine. And also being my love of Pixar, it shouldn't surprise too many folks. But I'll go ahead and say it, and then we can talk about it. It's 1995's Toy Story is my number one. And I know you've seen this one. Please, God.
I have.
Oh, my God. I didn't know what I would do for the next.
I have a feeling that this is going to be your number one, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known what to do with the next 2 or 3 minutes if you hadn't seen this. So, I mean, where do I start? I mean, just an amazing... First of all, animation-wise. We were just talking about Tangled, for example. You know, other movies that we've mentioned, WALL-E, Big Hero 6. You know, any of the movies that came out after Toy Story... Oh, a debt of gratitude to Toy Story. I mean, this was a revolutionary type of film on the big screen. There had been stuff done experimentally, but never released as animated features with this type of 3D animation. And it still holds up. I mean, if you watch the original Toy Story today, I mean, it still looks great. Now, it doesn't look as great as Toy Story 3 or soon to be 4, because they obviously are improving with every week that they're in there. But, I mean, this was a revolutionary type of animation that I remember seeing it back then and being like, I've never seen anything like this. Because, you know, we had seen Aladdin and Lion King and Beauty and the Beast and, you know, Little Mermaid. I mean, we'd seen all the great, great Disney animated, and it was getting better and better and better. But, I mean, this was just a whole new thing. I mean, it was something that we had never seen before. So that's the animation piece. Then, you know, you've got the music in it. I mean, you know, You've Got a Friend in Me is a classic song. Randy Newman is a classic voice. Just that song is just a forever all-time song from the Disney catalog, in my opinion. And it really tells the story of Buzz and Woody. It also tells the story of Andy and his connection with his toys as a child. And you can kind of substitute anything in there. You know, if you didn't play with toys when you were little, or if you didn't have a quote-unquote best friend when you were little that you played with every day, you probably had a pet or a family member or, you know, something that was really just a connection for you as a child that you didn't want to let go of. Yes. And that's really kind of what's going on with Toy Story. The whole theme kind of exists there, whether you're thinking of Andy and his connection with his toys, or whether you're thinking of the toys themselves, not wanting to leave Andy's side, not wanting to leave each other's side, always wanting to kind of be relevant in Andy's bedroom, so to speak, and his toy box.
Hello? Check. That better? Great. Everybody hear me? Up on the shelf? Can you hear me? Great. Okay, first item today. Has everyone picked a moving buddy?
What? Moving buddy? You can't be serious.
Well, I didn't know we were supposed to have one already.
We have to hold hands.
Oh, yeah, you guys think this is a big joke. We've only got 1 week left before the move. I don't want any toys left behind. A moving buddy. If you don't have one, get one. All right, next. Tuesday night's plastic corrosion awareness meeting was, I think, a big success, and we want to thank Mr. Spell for putting that on for us. Thank you, Mr. Spell.
You're welcome.
Okay. One minor note here. Andy's birthday party has been moved to today.
What do you mean the party's today? His birthday's not till next week.
What's going on down there? Is Mom losing her marbles?
Well, obviously, she wanted to have the party before the move. I'm not worried. You shouldn't be worried.
Of course Woody ain't worried. He's been Andy's favorite since kindergarten.
Hey, come on, Potato Head. If Woody says it's all right, then, well, darn it, it's good enough for me. Woody has never steered us wrong before.
So, you know, now, as a feature film, there's other reasons, but this could have very easily been Toy Story 2 or 3 as well, my number one. All three of them are pretty equal for me. I had to put Toy Story as the movie I chose to put on my list because it started it all. And when I say it started it all, I mean it started Pixar. I mean, it started everything.
Yeah, first Pixar-Disney collaboration.
Right. So it definitely started the Toy Story franchise, but it also started kind of this beautiful Disney-Pixar relationship that we've had over the last 20 years or so. So I love it. I mean, what do you want to say? I mean, obviously you love Toy Story, I'm assuming.
I actually don't love Toy Story.
Really? Well, go ahead, tell us why. That's fine.
I appreciate Toy Story as a kid and as an adult. This is one that I did see as a child, actually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One of the few. It just freaked me out a little bit.
Did it? Yeah, it took on the Sid, child's play kind of thing.
Sid and then Spider Baby and the whole scene with Sid destroying his toys and torturing them.
Yeah.
Really freaky. And a funny story that I think you will appreciate. I wasn't raised on Star Wars either. Have seen Star Wars for the first time within the last year or two. Toy Story was actually my spoiler for the biggest cinematic review.
Really?
Of all time. Okay. Yeah, because is it in Toy Story 2?
2, yeah.
When, one. Yeah, that they do that whole thing with Zurg and Buzz. Yeah,
exactly, which was awesome. It's funny that spoiled that for you, but I guess you saw it at a young age. Yeah, yes. I can see that. You know, and I don't expect this to be obviously everybody's number one. It's just my number one, just because I'm such a huge Pixar fan, man. I mean,
I love it.
I love that
you are. And you know, here at the park, at Walt Disney World, they just opened Toy Story Land
at Disney
Hollywood Studios, and that's a brand new section of the parks that is really cool. So you're kind of shrunk down to the size of a toy, yeah, and you're in Andy's backyard.
I saw that, yeah, and I can't wait to visit that. It probably won't be for a few years, but I'm looking forward to checking that out.
Bring the fam down.
I'll come see it. I'll have to, and I'll hit you up for sure. But you know, Toy Story 4 is coming out this year, which I'm excited about. A lot of people are like, okay, enough already. But I love these.
Yeah.
I love these characters. Like, I mean, Tom Hanks as Woody. I mean, Tom Hanks is an American American treasure. I mean, he's a gem. Sure. I just love him. You know, this is Tim Allen's best work. I mean, the best thing he's ever done is voiced Buzz, in my opinion. You have classic comedian slash character actors in there like Don Rickles, Wallace Shawn, Jim Varney, you know, who was Ernest from the Ernest movies. This is just a great voice cast, and it was done in 1995, you know, started making this film in 94. I mean, it was revolutionary, and it was like a super group of people that came together. And, you know, like I said, it garnered the birth, really, of the Pixar kind of franchise. And every Pixar movie that we've had since then, everything is kind of playing off of what Toy Story started. And, you know, aside from the revolutionary aspect of it, I just love it. I just love the friendship story. It's like a buddy cop series, you know?
That's like a great analogy, yeah.
It's like Buzz and Woody, just, you know, two friends in cahoots trying to, you know, survive in the world of toys, you know? It can be creepy if you think about it, with like Annabelle and Child's Play and all that stuff.
But, yeah. And then in Toy Story 2, Prospector, oh, he just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I could see that too, yeah. Another great voice. I think it was Kelsey Grammer that did that. So Toy Story is my number one. Are you surprised? You're not surprised by that, right? You saw that coming?
I'm not surprised, but I really liked hearing you talk about it.
Yeah, I figured you saw that coming. I could have cheated and just said all the Toy Stories, which is kind of what I wanted to do. But I figured I would pick one. So if I had to watch one right this second, it would be the original. So that's my number one. So why don't you give a wrap up real quick, Lauren? Just go ahead and just list your 5-1 for everyone real quick to remind them.
Sure. My number 5 was The Lion King. Number 4, Big Hero 6. Number 3, Mulan. Number 2, Zootopia. And number 1, Tangled.
There it is, Tangled. My top 5, of which you have not seen 2, which I'm very upset with you. You have homework. Bring Kleenexes. My number 5 is Inside Out. 4 was Aladdin. Number 3 was WALL-E. Number 2 was The Lion King. Crossover there. And my number 1 was Toy Story from 1995. That's my top 5. Now what I like to do, Lauren, before we head over to social media and see what the fans had to say, which they had some great feedback as well. Some surprises, to be honest, over online. Ones that weren't even on my radar. But before we do that, do you have any... Now, I usually round out my top 10 from honorable mentions. Do you have a few honorable mentions that you want to shout out that did not make the cut?
I do have a few honorable mentions. I think that this is one of the greatest Disney movies ever made and would have been on my list if we had done that. But Tarzan.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think it's great. Frozen is a phenomenon of the new age Disney.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
I love the story. I love that there's two protagonists. I have a really special connection with Elsa, and that I always loved. Also, 101 Dalmatians, that classic. And this one's a little offbeat, but a Goofy movie.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I think it's forgotten about. And I think it was really great. You know, the music, the Powerline character, I think is really dynamic and really entertaining.
You don't have any Pixar, do you?
I don't. Wow. Okay, you know what?
Are you coming for my heart here? What's going on?
I lied. I have one Pixar.
Okay, what was it? Remind me.
The Incredibles.
Oh, The Incredibles. Yeah, okay, that's right. Well, that's okay. At least we got one there.
I will say this actually rivaled The Lion King for my number 5.
Okay.
I chose specifically not to put it on there because you guys talked about it in your superhero podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty recent, and I figured that I would shake it up a little bit.
No, that's cool. Yeah, that's good. All right, so let's see. So I'll just round out my top 10 real quick, and then if you want to comment on any of these, feel free. But my number 6 would have been Beauty and the Beast from 1991. Another kind of the era of Disney where it was really kind of the renaissance. You know, it was after the old school animation and it was right before the digital animation. So Beauty and the Beast, I love the music in that. Belle's one of my favorite princesses. I just love that movie. Number 7 would have been The Incredibles for me, which you just mentioned.
Woo-hoo.
Number 8 would have been Up, which is definitely one that will invoke tears. Have you seen Up?
I have not seen Up because I know how sad it is.
That one you will cry. Although it has a payoff though. You cry in the beginning and then the next, you know, 2/3 of the movie you're excited and you're happy. So if you can get through the first third or quarter of the movie, you'll be fine.
Maybe I'll just fast forward.
So get ready.
To where we meet Doug.
Yeah, basically, yeah. My number 9 would have been Wreck-It Ralph from 2012. Another one that's great for like a social message. I mean, we're turning into our devices. You know, we're living in the internet. Which, you know, is what ends up happening in the sequel for Wreck-It Ralph. But I'm naming the original from 2012. The sequel was also very good. The sequel would probably be in my top 20. But I love the Wreck-It Ralph movies. And then my number 10, which you already mentioned, would have been Zootopia. Would have been my number 10. All right, so that's our list, guys. What I want to do, though, Lauren, if you're cool with it, is I'm going to go over to social media and what we call the suggestion box, and we have quite a lot of feedback that came in on the suggestion box this week, and quite a few that we didn't mention, so I thought it'd be interesting to see what we think about some of these. So good friend of the show, Amanda, from Picture Show A Go-Go, here's her top five. Five would have been Monsters, Inc. And that's a Pixar. Okay. That's a Pixar.
Yeah, that's a great movie. That's one Pixar movie that I have seen.
That's a good one. It takes a classic, like, you know, monsters hiding under the bed or in your closet, and kind of makes children okay with it, which I thought was a very inventive idea. I do love Monsters, Inc. She's got Finding Nemo at number four. That's another really good one. Finding Dory is really good, too. Beauty and the Beast is her number three. Number two would have been Robin Hood. And number one would have been Peter Pan. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Peter Pan almost made my list, too. That was one of them that I saw as a kid and always had a connection to because I never wanted to grow up.
Yeah. Throwback Thursday on Peter Pan, though. I hadn't seen that in a minute.
For real.
And then my buddy Justin from the Epic Film Guys has got a great list here. His number five would have been Sleeping Beauty. Four would have been Dumbo. Three would have been Pinocchio. Number two would have been Aladdin, and number one would have been Beauty and the Beast. You know, Tim Burton's doing the Dumbo remake. Do you see the trailer for that?
Is he really?
He is, yeah. It's going to be kind of like obviously because it's Tim Burton, but it's going to be kind of a dark live action.
That'll be interesting. Version. I mean, Dumbo is kind of a dark movie. Really kind of sad.
Yeah, it comes out next month, actually, in March. So,
whoa.
Check it out. I love Tim Burton. So, you know our buddy Michael Hill, who also used to work with us, Lauren. He's got a list here that I feel like you're going to like a lot because his number one is Mulan. So, He's got your
stay with China.
Yeah, he's got your, you know, number one pick as his one. Mulan, then he's got Aladdin, Brave, which is another great Pixar film. Moana. Did anybody mention Moana yet? Nobody said Moana.
No, neither of us said that. I know that he loves it though.
He does. And you know, the rocks in there, great music in that film by Lin-Manuel Miranda. So yeah, Moana's kind of a no-brainer. Then he's also got Wreck-It Ralph as his number five. And I obviously agree with that. So a friend of mine, Jeff, does a podcast, and he does the podcast with his son. His 7-year-old son is his co-host, which is
that is spectacular.
Is a really cool. And as if that weren't cool enough, what they do is they kind of talk about old school monster movies like Frankenstein and Dracula, like the, you know, 30s and 40s, like the old monster movies.
Okay.
They like talk about those. It's really cool to hear his son's take on some of that stuff. But here's their list. So his list, coming from the father, is Toy Story, Alice in Wonderland, The Emperor's New Groove, which is a good one that nobody mentioned, Robin Hood, and Monsters, Inc. And then going down to his son's list, you can kind of see the comparison here. His son's list, number one is Toy Story of Terror. Have you ever seen that one? That's the Halloween special. Did you ever see that?
Oh, I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah. So they have these, it's basically a short. It's like a 30-minute short. It's like a short movie, but it's centered around like a creepy, kind of like a Bates Motel type place. They're on vacation and it's a really stormy, rainy night and the toys get lost in the hotel and it takes on this kind of like creepy, just like a Halloween type vibe. But I mean, it's Toy Story, so it's still fun, you know?
I hate it.
But it's really good. And then they have a Christmas one too that's called Toy Story That Time Forgot, which is a Christmas theme. But those are both really good. And then Al's got Zootopia as his number two. His number three is Moana. Number four is Toy Story. And number five would have been Beauty and the Beast. So you can kind of see the contrast there. All right. And then I like this list because it is a throwback classic list. My friend Josh Hallmark over on Facebook said his five would have been The Jungle Book. His four would have been Lion King. Three was Hercules. Two was Robin Hood. And number one was Fox and the Hound.
Oh, wow. You know, I'm surprised neither of us talked about Hercules.
Yeah, or Fox and the Hound, to be honest. Especially you.
Yeah, I kind of forget about that one.
Yeah, it's just so old, man. What was that, the 50s or 60s? It's been a while since Fox and the Hound came out. But that's a good one. That's a classic one. I'll mention a couple more. We got so much feedback this week. Let's see. Another one with some great throwbacks. Hannah from Boozy Movies said Hercules, Robin Hood, The Incredibles, Finding Nemo, and The Emperor's New Groove. What do you feel about The Emperor's New Groove? We didn't mention
I'm surprised that it's coming up as people's really top five. I think I've only seen it once. It was more entertaining than I wanted it to be. I kind of went into it. Was it released in theaters?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a feature release.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah, it's good. It's got David Putty in there from Seinfeld. I can't remember the actor's name for some reason. Patrick Warburton, I think is his name. And, you know, he's a great voice. He's got one of those really kind of great voices, and he's in there. David Spade is in there. Yeah, I like Emperor's. Here's another mention for Drew. Our buddy Drew Hallam over on Facebook said, here's his five. Number five, Inside Out, The Great Mouse Detective. We haven't mentioned that one yet.
Aww.
That's a good caper movie. Monsters, Inc., The Emperor's New Groove at number two. And then Beauty and the Beast was his number one. And then the last one I'll mention today, just because he's such a great supporter of the show and he gives us feedback every week, but Tony Dobbish over on Facebook. Here's his top five. Number five, Lion King. Number four, Toy Story. Number three, The Incredibles. Number two, Up. And his number one, Wall-E. So he's got four out of five Pixars there. So that's,
yeah, you like that list, don't you?
I did. I put a little gif up of me and him being twins when I saw that, because that was almost my exact five when I made my initial list before I started moving stuff around.
You know, I did see that comment, and I looked really hard at his list trying to predict what yours was going to be.
Yeah, no, him and I have a lot of similar sensibilities. I had Tony on the show, and we did on-screen movie duos, and we were like crossing over like crazy. So I had to like change up my list because we had like four out of five. We like matched stuff on, and I'm
that
like,
is too funny.
And I'm like changing up my list on the fly. So him and I think a lot alike. I love Tony over there. So that's it, guys. That's our top five Disney movies. Lauren, I want to thank you for sliding in for Andy. You know, you're doing a little substitute teacher thing here today, and I appreciate it. And I know,
well, Andy, I appreciate you inviting me.
Absolutely, I know Andy does as well. And I, you know, I don't know. Do you want people to follow you on Twitter or Instagram or anything? You can give them your handle if you want them to do that, or you don't have
to.
Absolutely. But
I post, I mean, I live and work at Walt Disney World. I live so close, actually, that every night at 8 o'clock my house shakes like an earthquake because we are so close to Magic Kingdom fireworks. So if you want to see Disney pictures and my Disney adventures, yeah, definitely follow me on Instagram. My I can post my handle, or do I say it?
Go ahead and say it, and then I'll put it in the show notes. How about that?
Okay, yeah. So it's little, but with two E's at the end. So LITTLEE. And then my name, Lauren, LAURE-N.
Little Lauren. There she is. Lauren, thank you. I miss you. You know, we worked together for a little over a year at the restaurant, and you're awesome. You were always one of my favorite peeps. And we had to close down there, you know, which stunk. And
very sad.
Everybody kind of went their separate ways, and now you're down there, you know, living it up in the sunshine. So I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm still here.
But what are you up to?
You know, same thing, restaurant management, and you know, raising a family. We're about to have another baby. So by the time this airs, the new baby will be born, actually. So
oh my goodness.
Yeah, as we're recording this, we're a week out from the due date. So if that tells you anything. So I'm very excited for a little man to show up here. But yeah.
And you haven't announced the name, right?
I haven't. I can tell you, because this isn't going to air until after he's born, but his name is going to be Luke. And it's obviously a play on Star Wars a little bit. Luke Skywalker.
Now, did I hear something about how, like, every letter of his name?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Every letter of his name is going... Well, we did you're talking about the art piece that we made. Yeah, we made an art piece to go over his crib, and every letter of his name is made of a different Star Wars character.
So, okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, we did it for Logan, too. My son Logan, we did Marvel character, because his Logan is Wolverine, if you don't know.
Yeah. Oh, so cool. Yeah, congratulations. So, I'm so excited.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so we're doing the whole thing, but I'm excited, too. Ready for a little guy to get here, getting ready for him, getting prepared. But that's it for us today, guys. So thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Two Peas. Lauren, I hope you had a good time. Thanks for being here.
This was so fun. Thank you. I'm going to work at Disney later tonight, and so I'll get to tell all my coworkers about this. Yeah. And
compare lists. Let me know who they side with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You'll have a lot of Disney cast members now following your page
and
putting their two cents in there.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. And I really, once again, want to thank you for making time to be here, Lauren. I appreciate it. And stay in touch, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care. All Lauren's info and our info will be in the show notes. We'll see you guys next time. Take care.
Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.